Brilliant. Well done for doing that. It's great to be able to touch base with people, isn't it? This morning, Ray is going to preach to us from Psalm 27, so you may want to get that open in your Bible. Carol is going to just read that for us before his sermon, and then there's going to be a little picture which will help set the scene for some of what Ray is going to say to us. So I'm going to hand over to them. Let's just pray before. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. Lord, we've not come to be entertained. Lord, we've not come to just sing a few songs to hear some nice music. Lord, we have come because we want to meet with you. Lord, we want to encounter you. We want to you to pour out your spirit upon us. We want you to change our lives again. We want to understand you more, Lord. We want fresh revelation. And we pray, Lord, that through Psalm 27, through what Ray is going to share with us, we pray, Lord, would you speak so clearly to each and every one of us? Would you strengthen us where we feel weak? Would you encourage us where we feel discouraged? Lord, would you give us faith where we're struggling with fear? We pray in the name of Jesus that you would move in our lives. And we pray that knowing that you're our good Father who wants to lead us in life everlasting. Amen. Okay, going to hand over to Carol.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Although an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Even though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. One of the things I like to do is take photographs of unusual or amusing notices. The photograph you've just seen I took when we were on holiday in Cheshire last week. The two notices in the picture seem that they don't belong together. One notice seems to contradict the other. Psalm 27 is a bit like that. There's a marked contrast between the confidence expressed in the first part of the psalm and the anxiety expressed in the second part. The contrast is such that several biblical scholars have argued that it should be regarded as two separate psalms. But I think there's real encouragement for us in seeing it as a unified whole. Those of you who follow the Unity Church WhatsApp groups will be familiar with the phrase that Dean often uses to sign off his messages. Keep the faith. That's the title I've chosen for this week's message. Keep the faith. If you've a Bible, you might like to follow the text as we move through the psalm. As I've already indicated, the psalm divides into two contrasting sections. Verses 1 to 6 I've entitled Confident Faith. David expresses complete confidence in the Lord's deliverance of him from his enemies. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe. My head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Throughout his lifetime, David had many enemies. When he wrote these words, "When the wicked advance against me to devour my flesh," I wonder if he had in mind Goliath's threat. "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Goliath was the first enemy that David encountered, but by no means the last. King Saul repeatedly sought to kill him. After he became king, he fought many battles against the house of Saul, against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, against the Philistines, against the Moabites, against the Arameans, against the Ammonites, against the rebellion led by Absalom. When David had it in his heart to build a temple for the Lord, God told him, "You have shed much blood. You have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name." Through those many and various battles, David discovered God to be his light, his salvation, the stronghold in which he was secure. He proclaims with confidence, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" This confidence derives from two sources. First, his experience of past deliverance. The NIV expresses verse 2 in the future tense. "My enemies will stumble and fall." But many biblical scholars believe that the Hebrew is better represented by the past tense. "They stumbled and fell." Each experience of deliverance strengthened David's faith. We may not face the sorts of enemies David did, but we can draw confidence for our present challenges from recalling what God has done in our lives in the past. The second source of David's confidence was his passion for worship. This was the focus of his life, his overriding desire, his number one priority. I find that a challenge, not to try to fit God into the spare spaces in my diary, but to make my plans around the priority of worship. If David, with all the responsibilities of kingship, could make worship his overriding desire, what excuse can we have? Out of this passion for worship, David derives confidence that in the day of trouble, God will keep him safe. He knew there was a special blessing and protection for the one who earnestly sought God. It wasn't a promise to prevent all trouble, but to provide security and protection in the midst of it. David's passion for worship builds confidence that God will be with him to deliver him. And the experience of God's deliverance in turn engenders further desire to worship him. "I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." God has provided for us an even greater salvation. As Paul writes, "He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son he loves. in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have the guarantee of an eternal future in God's presence when Jesus returns for his church. How many more reasons we have to make worship the priority of our lives on earth. The second section of the psalm, verses 7 through to 13, I've entitled Battling Faith. After the confidence that David expresses in verses 1 to 6, we might be surprised by the pleading we find in this section of the psalm. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject me or forsake me. Do not turn me over to the desire of my enemies. This seems a far cry from the confidence expressed in the first part of the psalm. Like the notice, "Anglers beware, overhead power lines," seems to contradict the no fishing notice. This fear of being abandoned by God seems to contradict the confident faith expressed in the first six verses of this psalm. But I think there is encouragement for us in this. Even the most confident of us can experience periods of doubt, niggling questions as to whether God is really with us. Has he abandoned us in our time of need? What I love about the psalms is they don't sweep those issues under the carpet, but honestly face them. What an encouragement that David, described in scriptures as a man after God's own heart, had those periods of doubts and questioning. Considering how he responds can help us in our own struggles of faith. First, he focuses on what he knows. He knows he cannot earn God's favour. So he prays, "Lord, be merciful to me." Perhaps he is aware of some sin in his life that causes him to plead for God's mercy. Some time ago, I shared about that dark time in my life when I was in Germany, when I felt God had abandoned me because of the sinful condition of my heart. But sin need not break our relationship with God. 1 John 1 verse 9 assures us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Don't let unconfessed sin hinder your fellowship with God, for he is gracious and mercy, and his love endures forever. David also knows that despite his present struggles, he has a heart for God. "My heart says of you, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek." Some scholars understand the invitation to seek God's face to be God's invitation to David. "Seek my face," to which David responds, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Whatever way the first part of this verse is understood, it is clear that David had a heart set on seeking God. When we struggle with doubts, we need to determine not to turn away from God, but to set our hearts afresh to seek him. Earlier in this psalm, David expresses his deep desire to seek God in his temple. Our temple is the church community. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:22, "In him you two are being built together to become a temple in which God lives by his Spirit." When we're struggling, it's tempting to want to isolate ourselves from church and from fellowship. But that is just the time when we need to resolve that we will seek God in company with God's people. Secondly, David recalls past experience. "You have been my helper." A great way to battle present doubts is to recall past experience, ways in which God has been at work in our lives. As the old hymn said, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Thirdly, David prays for understanding. Teach me your way, lead me in a straight path. David wanted to understand and follow God's way, not be diverted or turn aside from following God because of the threat of his enemies, not to be put off by the false accusations of those who oppose him. It's a good prayer to pray when we are going through times of struggle. God can use those times to reveal more of himself and his purposes. Many of my favourite scriptures are those through which God spoke in times of struggle and doubt. And as a result of all of that, David's confidence is restored. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David is able to view the future with fresh hope, restored confidence, not that every problem has been solved or that his enemies have melted away, but that having fought the inner battle of faith, his trust in God is restored. And so this psalm ends with this encouragement. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. The Hebrew word translated wait does not suggest a passive attitude of just hanging around for something to happen. It is the force of being expectant. When I think of that, I am reminded of an experience I had at a conference in Derbyshire. Bunking in a dorm with several others, I was unable to sleep, and not wanting to wake others by getting up, I lay awake, waiting for the dawn. Not in a passive way, but actively looking for and taking encouragement from every slight change in the degree of darkness in the room that indicated that dawn was approaching, waiting expectantly. And so this is the conclusion of the psalm and the message to us. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. May God bless us all as we wait for him.